As a way of introductions, I'm not in the military, unlike everyone else on the stage with me today. I am wearing my grandfather's tie, and he was in the infantry. That's a way of, from my briefing about infantry officers being good at cuffing, that is what I'm going to be doing right now, because I'm also not Tony Hopking, and I'm not the deputy account manager at DSTL. Fortunately, Tony sends his apologies. He's gone down unwell this morning and is not actually here to give this actual briefing. So I'll be covering for him on his behalf. DSTL then, Defence, Science and Technology Laboratory. A lot of you in this audience I know are familiar with DSTL, but I'll just go over a couple of points with DSTL. We are MOD's science and technology experts. Approximately we have 3,700 staff working on science and technology. If you take in our functions and services that go along with that, we actually are an organisation of 5,000 people. The 2 points, or actually 3 points I want to make for this briefing, which are relevant, are we carry out the sensitive science and technology work, we provide independent and impartial S&T advice, and we are responsible also there for formulating and delivering the MOD research programme. So we have the money there and we're there to deliver that work. DSTL recently has been gone under a bit of a restructuring, and we actually split into three areas. I just want to kind of cover those three areas briefly. We have the accounts area, and that is what Tony will be representing. We have actually 7 accounts, and he'll be here from the land account. And the role of the account managers there are to collate the requirements, to go out and engage the customer community at the senior levels and find out what it is they need and where they need support from the S&T community. That then moves across into the Programmes Directorate. Programmes Directorate is there to basically formulate up, take those requirements in, and basically deliver projects and programmes and portfolios across a number of those requirements. So basically, if there's one account manager has a very similar requirement with another account manager, they can be put together into a programme, and we can actually deliver that work without basically spending the money twice, if you like. Then it moves into the kind of operations department. The operations department, in DSTL today, in the connections, we have 29 people, and everyone there it sits in the operations area. And basically, operations there are responsible for having the capability to go out and deliver this work. I sit in, so by introduction, my name is Colin Marston, and I sit in one in the land bus space systems department, and I'm responsible there for delivering a number of off-land projects. If you were here at Connections last year, you would have seen me give a briefing on some work which I delivered out in Afghanistan with 16 of my colleagues in Afghanistan, a war game supporting headquarters ISAF Joint Command. In 3.5 weeks' time, I'll be here with a number of members of people in this audience, that includes DSTL and industry, delivering a manual war game system for Exercise Iron Resolve for the Army for Freediv. So that's my point of view. I help deliver war gaming requirements. DSTL then, what we use wargaming for, I mean, broadly speaking, these pictures and these slides kind of cover it into kind of three main category areas. Top left we have training, the picture there is taken from Exercise Arcade Fusion, that's delivering a deliberate wargame prior to a main exercise event. Arcade Fusion is the main exercise for the NATO headquarters, Allied Rapid Reaction Corps, Freestyle headquarters. Bottom left there, planning. We get involved with all sorts of kind of planning support. That picture there is duplicating one of the war games we delivered to ISAF Joint Command, and that was also delivered with our colleagues in the US as well. So that's UK and US analysts supporting UK and US military up to senior levels. On the right hand side, then we have analysis and research. And under this kind of category, so we look at kind of here in the 101, we're talking about analytical war gaming and support to that. We're talking about getting involved in kind of force development and testing, capability developments and support to operations. And there are a number of tools and techniques that are used in there to deliver those kind of war games. Everything from the kind of constructive simulations, which are those pictures there, to delivering manual war games, maps and counters. To my colleagues, Paul Pierce and Paul Strong, here tomorrow, we're giving you briefings on some of those kind of areas. And also we'll talk a bit more about our history, DSTL's history, in delivering those kind of wargaming requirements since World War II. So why are we here on this panel presenting right now? Really to kind of outline this situation. There is a resurgence of interest in wargaming. I take what Graham and what Peter Purvis were saying about a sine wave. We're definitely on an up wave in terms of interest in wargaming, the army in particular. This also extends, I think, within the US and Canada, and I'm sure that the US and Canadian colleagues in this audience can also comment on that view as well. From a DSDL point of view, we do have gaps in the operational analysis tool set. We see wargaming as one of the kind of methods that sits in within OA. To understand this ever more complex future operating environment, you've only got to look on the news today and look at everything around the equator and everything towards Northern Europe to see that the world is a very, very complex place and things are going on that we need to understand. DSTL is the largest single concentration of MOD professional wargamers. I think most of those are in this audience today, and some of them have been doing it for a very long period of time. At Connections last year, one of my colleagues, Mike Lana, who's from the programs area of DSTL, announced basically we didn't really have a strategy for developing and sustaining our wargaming capability. So he gave a briefing and talked about, and in the past we had a vast number of wargamers, and that number has slightly dwindled over a number of years. And you know, so the question is, we've got a resurgence going up, you know, what are we going to do about sustaining our wargaming capability to support the MOD, and how can we best do that? And that is really now the focus of this briefing. You know, where do we want to be? And I'm speaking here from the, not DSTL point of view, but from an MOD point of view. So, you know, ideally, we want the frontline commands and head office to have senior officers who understand the value of wargaming. A cadre of professional wargamers able to lead training and planning wargames. Staff trained in how to wargame for training and planning, and the systems they need to support that, whether that will be, you know, the best advice really on what are the best manual wargames that are out there, or basically trying to help deliver more complex computer enabled support. Within science and technology then, you know, we want to be able to deliver, again, a sustainable cadre of professional wargaming individuals to provide that technical support to the Ministry of Defence, and to be able to provide those analytical war games and also develop those kind of systems or maintain those systems. We do have a number of systems already in place for S&T and for the MOD. So that's where we're trying to aim to get to. So how can we do this? What is a sensible way of doing this? I echo probably from a number of the briefings here about, you know, about individuals trying to basically do their own wargaming, and Santos trying to do its own approach, Ivor's doing his own approach there as a CEO. But I think realistically, we're going to have a smarter way of doing this in terms of trying to understand what are all those requirements and actually get the knowledge back and learn the lessons from those, from delivering those requirements. I think a lot of you in this audience have seen good wargames delivered, and a lot of us have also seen bad wargames being delivered. So I think there is going to be a way of doing a smarter approach to that. So this is really what the next few slides kind of concentrate on now, really, is kind of trying to come up what is the way ahead. And this is really just a kick-off discussion. This isn't a solution, but it's just an approach that we'd like to get some kind of feedback on. So on the left-hand side there, we have the customer. So we're talking about where the MOD customer are represented by those by we have the Army on stage. But also we have some people in the audience here, one individual from the Navy, one individual from the Royal Air Force in Connections today. But also you're trying to represent that community. We have the hub, and I'll talk a bit more about how that will operate, and then we have the capability there to actually deliver the war games, and obviously everyone here today can provide that capability to know what backgrounds you are from. So the customer then has the requirement and basically feeds that into the hub, so it would be the role of, in this case, the DSTL kind of account side of function, basically go out and engage those customers, or their customers to come to the account function and feed in those requirements. That then goes into the hub. You know, this is really what, from our deep point of view, is the kind of corporate knowledge. So an impartial one-stop shop that basically can take a look at those requirements, capture and understand what is the best way to go and deliver them, and develop the options and recommendations on how to do that. You know, should you use a manual wargame approach here? Should you use something else? And in the hub, I think it has to be the customer and there's a small select number of individuals who understand wargaming and those requirements to kind of analyse those kind of options and work out what is the best way to deliver them, and then pass that on to a delivery team. So the delivery team will be a range of suppliers, the best people for the job, and a multidisciplinary approach. I do echo the multidisciplinary approach. I don't think you can deliver war games on your own, or certainly another way of looking at it, you can deliver better war games by involving a number of people from different backgrounds to do that. To exploit a number of niche capabilities. I mean, wargaming and wargamers are a niche capability. There is a lot of us here today, and it certainly is great to see an increasing number of people connections. But it is, in general, in terms of industrial scales, quite a niche capability of individuals that can actually go out and deliver war games. In terms of the way ahead then, so basically feeding that into the capability then, giving that out to delivery, that is something that actually meets the customer requirement. Ivor mentioning something there about a manual system counters in a box, that meets his requirement, and his requirement being that it's for them to go out to deliver it. We must be able to deliver that solution and not impose something else that is not fit for purpose. So how are we approaching this? Really come up with what DSCL role here and kind of like the road to wargaming. Okay, so Rack Connections right here today, right now, and I think it is really our opportunity now to basically try, while we're here, try and understand a little bit more from our MID colleagues that are in the audience about what kind of requirements they may have within wargaming, and to try and start the capturing of those requirements. Going forwards then, we need to analyse those requirements within MID. We need to kind of work out then with our customer and what is the best way to go about delivering those options and engaging that with our industry and academic kind of partners to come up with basically the options that we can do. I think my personal point of view, I see how we deliver war games with a very kind of ad hoc approach. I think we need to have a smarter approach, basically something like this in place, because it's important that we can feed back our observations, insights and lessons back into that hub, because when war games do not go well, we need to capture those lessons. When they do go well, again, we need to understand why it is that they have delivered and what it is we can actually take from that and feed into other customer requirements, so whether that be for the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force. In terms of going forwards then, there are two questions that DSTL has in the audience today. One, understand a little bit more about the MID requirements. And what we'd like to do, I'd like to invite a number of you in the audience, 10 of you, to come to a session at 11:15 and join those of us that are on stage here today to talk about this engagement piece and collecting those requirements. So obviously everyone up on the stage here today, but also George McInnes, Del Knight, Chris Peace, and Rob Grace and Howard Bodie, and also the new 3DIV wargaming rep I've not personally met, Andy Dugdale, fantastic. If you'd like to meet us on the terrace at 11:15, so we can have an initial conversation about kicking off this kind of engagement piece of work. The other piece of item that we want to kind of cover is basically how do we develop and sustain wargamers for training, planning, and analytical purposes. I'd be very interested to know what kind of ideas some of you may have in the audience today on how we can best do that for what you've seen from your own experiences over the number of years. James King, to make yourself known. James King will be kind of collecting those kind of viewpoints in, so if you've got any views on how best to develop and sustain war games, please come and speak to James during the course of the next 2 days. That's all I have to say on this session. I'm going to now hand back over to Andrew Sharp.